So he was fat at one point.
I still feel fat, but...
Get the fuck out of here. And we're back. I got my man Jimmy House in the building. This man is one Hulk-looking son of a bitch, man. I'm going to tell you right now, he is one of the strongest individuals I've ever had to train with, which
Thank
was
you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
I think you did like a 400-pound at the top, at least, floor press last night with the chains.
Super cool. I never did that.
Yeah, man. You're killing it. So what brought you here? And also, let's go back a little bit for the people that don't know who you are, right? This is... You're new in the, I would say, the YouTuber world, right? And working on getting more content out there. But I wanted to give you the platform because, man, I see what you're doing and, bro, you're untapped potential for sure.
Thank you.
So let's go over like from the start. And I know it starts very, very young.
Yeah.
So when did you start training and go on from there?
Yeah. So the first time I ever touched the weight, I was honestly about 4 or 5, like realistically 5 with my dad in the garage. He was doing a bunch of different like weight loss journeys and stuff like that for himself. So he had his own garage gym set up, and I'd basically just be sitting in there watching him lift for probably age 2 up until like age 3, age 4. And then I remember being 4 or 5, and he bought me my first little like weight set from Sports Authority, like a little like metal bar that weighed maybe like 2 or 3 pounds. And then he was showing me how to curl and press and everything. And that led into me doing weekend workouts Saturday and Sunday. Saturday would be upper body, Sunday would be legs, and we just repeated Saturday and Sunday from like age 5 or 6 all the way up until age 14 is when I took over my own training. And I've been training myself since, and I started actually at the age of 15 training my 2 best friends that are sitting right behind me that you met. And ever since then, they've been under me. I've been obviously doing a lot more coaching myself with other people, branching into online, and here I am. So.
Okay, so you sped through that whole shit. I really want to dig deep a little
we'll
bit
dig,
more.
We'll
so
dig.
You got, so now 5 years old, man. Like, how was that? And do you remember your first time, like, actually training?
I remember specifically getting the Sports Authority weight set and him giving me the bar and, like, say, do this, you know, do that, and, like, squat and all these different things.
Yeah.
He would always have me do different agility drills in the backyard prior to working out. And just basically from a very young age, it was his goal to give me as much potential as possible in the future. Like his mindset was like, oh, if we start lifting now, it's going to help him through sports, like in high school and everything. Mm-hmm. Little did he know that it would basically turn in my entire career and create opportunities such as this. And it just turned into this entire thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And at the time, honestly, I didn't enjoy it at all whatsoever, the lifting aspect. I enjoyed sports and everything, playing with my friends, but like the lifting aspect itself was such a chore to me.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't have very many chores growing up, but like the lifting was honestly the only chore I had. And people ask me this a lot, like, oh, did your dad force you to do it? Like, was it like a must-do thing? And honestly, the way my dad is, he had me do it. And, you know, we talked about what you have your son do.
Yeah.
He had me do it because he knew it'd be beneficial at some point, which obviously it has been. Mm-hmm. But at the time, I'm very obedient, and at least that's how I was raised. So I never really spoke up or contested the idea of training with him, even though like he had me waking up early when my friends are at home playing video games or sleeping in after school. I was lifting and all these different things, and I just never actually maybe enjoyed it until I started getting recognition like in middle school when I like started telling people I benched 135 for the first time. And then at the end of my 8th grade year, I benched 225 for the first time. I started getting some recognition for it.
Yeah.
And I started to feel that. And it's honestly like ego, whatever you want to call it. It's just a feeling that I became addicted to, and I've been able to pave it to a point to where I'm at now. Now having an entire career based upon my lifting and my physique and my athletic capabilities. So yeah, I mean, I really didn't like it at first. I have a lot of memories from being in the garage and, oh, actually, you know, this is not lifting related, but kind of. It's strength and conditioning. One of my fondest memories of my childhood, that's sarcasm, is being forced essentially to carry a 45-pound, like, dummy bag full of rice up the stairs. And basically what this was my dad's method of teaching me the concept of never quitting. And he basically told me, like, never, like, no matter how you need to get up the stairs, carry it, pull it, one arm, one leg at a time, whether it takes you 10 minutes or 20 minutes, like, you will not stop until you get up to the stairs. Mm-hmm. I carry that goddamn dummy up the stairs hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of fucking times, and it weighed just as much as I did at the time. But I remember that lesson, and I see how it's applied in so many different aspects later on in life. And honestly, like, whenever the time comes when I have a kid, I'm sure I'll find some sort of rice dummy myself to make him carry up the stairs. Yeah, it's kind of like They say you can't teach heart, and they say you can't teach work ethic, but I do think it can be bred at a specific age, especially like before you enter puberty, to where you almost accept certain levels of energy expenditure, certain levels of effort as just everyday life, and that's all that you're used to. I get asked a lot about my schedule between how much I'm training people, how much I'm training myself, you know, in a normal schedule for me, especially if I'm like in a jiu-jitsu camp. It's a 2 to 4 training session a day schedule. And if I'm cutting weight, it might be running on like one meal a day, to be honest with you. It's not what I suggest, but it's just the reality of it. And people ask me how I do it. And I, to me, it's just kind of like, it's in the same category as blinking or breathing. It doesn't really come as a chore to me anymore, just because of how I was brought up and the different things that my dad trained me through doing, to where stuff that I do now is just part of my everyday life.
Yep. So where's your dad from?
He's from Arizona.
He's from Arizona?
Yeah, born and raised.
What was it like growing up in Arizona?
It's honestly, I love Arizona. There's like very little that goes wrong there.
Yeah.
The only thing that you can really complain about is like the heat and like monsoon season. But other than that, it's like very peaceful for the most part, at least where I grew up. The weather's fine. You don't have to worry about anything crazy in that sense. I like the people for the most part. And it's like the best combination of like a city type of environment without being so condensed that you feel like cramped or like overpopulated. I do like Arizona personally.
Man, I'll tell you this. I do want to go there. I haven't been there yet. So if anybody wants to put on a seminar, we could do that.
Hell yeah.
And we can also bring my man with us, too, by the way. The dryness, the dry heat really gets me for some reason.
For sure.
When I go to Vegas, like it's like it feels like somebody's hit me with a blow dryer, you know, on a daily basis. And when you get a gust of wind, it's hot wind, and I don't know how to act when that happens.
That's right? Fair, yeah.
When you
yeah.
come here, obviously we have humidity, you know, we got the breeze from the beach, so it's a little harder for me to adapt to, you know?
Yeah.
But for you, now you've done bodybuilding, you've done your powerlifting now, right? And you're also a competitive jiu-jitsu practitioner, along with being high level black belt.
Thank you.
What came first? What were you trying to accomplish? What was the most, let's say, what did you compete in first?
Sure. It started with the team sports. Well, no, I take that back. I started doing martial arts when I was 3.
Yeah.
Did that up until age 7. And then that bled into my team sports and everything. So then that's where the lifting and that type of training became even more relevant at the time because of the transfer into the team sports that I was playing between baseball and football. Mm. I tried out for the 7th grade basketball team, and I made it by the...
Did you really?
I made it, but I also averaged like 20 seconds a game sometimes.
Okay. Was he bulldozing everybody on the team? Is that accurate, guys? Is that accurate?
I was better than this. Actually, I was better than this kid.
Damn. Damn, look at him, all backpedaling on this.
I know. We had our little like neighborhood street league that me and him created, where we would like challenge the kids from around the block and shit. We're undefeated. Nice. It was great.
That's awesome.
But so after the not so amazing basketball season, I remember basically just kind of like sitting on the sidelines during practice.
Yeah.
As the wrestling team was going and practicing, and I remember just basically sitting there and being bored, and then I would look over at the wrestling room and like, oh, that looks like a lot of fun. And I've always just naturally, like martial arts or anything just having to do with manipulating somebody else's body has been something that just came naturally to me. Mm-hmm. So he was wrestling at the time, my best friend Irving.
You mean smashing people, right? It's just natural.
Smashing is probably like my top 2 or 3 talents that I have.
Perfect. Right. All right, let's keep it at that. He's like, next.
That's on the exclusive podcast?
Yeah, that's the OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Got it.
So then after watching Irving, my best friend, wrestle in there, I'm like, oh, that looks like a lot of fun. And I asked him about it. He encouraged me to do it. So it's funny now being 12, 13 years removed from that, my best friend is the reason why I'm even here, period, because had it not been for him encouraging me to do wrestling would have never bled into jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu would have never bled into all the things I'm doing now. And then here I am. So it's cool. And so to answer your initial question, that bled into high school. Football was my main thing. I went into my high school freshman team, and I just honestly did not enjoy the dynamic.
Yeah.
But I'm extremely thankful for the dynamic, because I just didn't feel like there was an opportunity to display skill based upon the dynamic of the coach to player ratio. The situation at the time was like, there's a lot of kids coming from a specific like Pop Warner-esque type team, and I wasn't a part of that. So, like, it was a not so fair dynamic, and that was, like, the thing with a lot of the kids on the team at the time. And it was a very, it was a very big transition period for me because I learned a lot during the time from an aspect of learning who your real friends are. That was a big one. Mm-hmm. Learning the learning about the type of people that you want to be around. Like, I had this idea going from middle school to high school. You see all these football movies and everything, and it's like you want to be in that popular scene, and you want to be put on this pedestal because you're a football player and everything like that. And I did have a fair amount of skill, and I let my friends speak about that at one point. But with that said, I just didn't feel like I was appreciated for what I could provide. I basically saw as like big muscular kid. I could catch better than anybody. Mm-hmm. I had more athleticism than anybody. That's kind of shown now later on in life. And now I'm at the point to where that wasn't appreciated. So then I'm like, do I even want to play this anymore? Like, I feel like I have to because I've invested so much into football.
Sure.
And I was honestly scared to do wrestling in high school because I just heard about all the crazy conditioning that they have you do. And mentally, I wasn't that tough or confident in myself at the time. But I hated football so much that I just basically, like, I remember going to my dad's room and said, I kind of want to wrestle, but I'm scared. He's like, well, why don't you try it? And then if you like it, then you stick with it. If you don't like it, then we'll come back and do something else. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. So him giving me the courage to take my first step in the wrestling room, I get in there, and it was like 10 times harder than the football, but it was a rewarding feeling. Like, it felt like I was there for a purpose.
Yeah.
That turned into getting a varsity spot my freshman year, and I ended my freshman year being the top-ranked freshman based on wins on varsity. Mm-hmm. And I saw that, and I just basically thought to myself that if I work my ass off at this, I could be something. I could possibly become like a state champion by my senior year.
Gotcha.
That's when I decided to quit football, mm-hmm. and then I invested everything I had into wrestling. So it just was lifting, wrestling. By the time I got to my senior year, I decided to push myself harder than any way that I could possibly think of, mm-hmm. and think of a way that I could assure myself that every single one of my opponents didn't do. And to me, that was pushing myself to do a bodybuilding show leading into my senior year. As far as like work is concerned, everybody can say that they work harder than the other person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I the only way I'm going to get the confidence to beat these people, and I started my senior year like 40-0.
Mm-hmm.
The only way I'm going to get the confidence to beat these people is knowing that I worked my ass off way harder than any of them did. And, like, how do you measure that? You can't really, other than, like, I know for a fact none of these people are putting themselves through a 10-week bodybuilding prep, starving all summer long.
That's crazy.
And we went to do the show, and I won, and I was Mr. Teen Arizona 2013. And then after that, went up a weight class and then basically entered my senior year number one in the state of Arizona, won my first 40 matches. It started to go downhill a little bit. At the end of the season, there was a huge skin outbreak. They had to postpone state. It was like a statewide thing.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember going
What was the skin outbreak?
Like everything. Like like Matt Herpes, impetigo, staph, MRSA.
Damn.
Some other things that I don't even remember.
Yeah.
And
ringworm, obviously.
Yeah, ringworm. Yeah. Ringworm's okay.
Do I know so much about that?
That's also bad.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Those that don't know, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't look it up either.
Yeah, please.
So there's a huge skin outbreak, and I specifically remember going into Hell Week prior to the state qualifying tournament, getting through an entire week. Thank God it's over. And then they announced that it's postponed, so we have to do the fucking Hell Week all over again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that, or I remember that. But then postponing state that week, going into my sectionals or that state qualifying tournament the next weekend, everything was going great. I ended up going against the guy that I beat twice before, and this time around I was actually beating him more than I ever had before. I was doing great. Then I hit this point in the second period where I hit this wall. And basically, somewhere within the match, I got a really bad concussion, worse than I ever got in football or anything else. I just hit this wall and I started just tanking. I gave up like a 7-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
We went into overtime, and then he took me down in overtime, and then I lost. And after like whole experience of getting screamed at by my coach and all these different things, we went to the emergency room that night, and I somewhere received like a huge concussion. Like, I remember being on the podium, I almost collapsed off the podium. My dad had to turn off the camera and come and try to like catch me, essentially. And the athletic director at their school saw that and then contacted my athletic director, and they just basically said, like, yeah, he's done, he can't, because stay was 6 days after.
How did you get the concussion?
I have no idea. It was, I guess it was just like a bunch of like normal blows that you would just ignore otherwise. But for whatever reason, it had had an effect on me that just kind
of accumulation of,
I guess, so. Yeah. And it kind of seems silly. And yeah. It to like anyone that doesn't understand concussions, almost like, oh, he's faking it. And I mean, I wish I was, to be honest, because I would have loved to win state my senior year, because that was the trajectory I was going on. But it was that moment that led into powerlifting. Mm-hmm. After that, mm-hmm. I didn't like the thought of wrestling after how my senior year ended. So like I had a little bit of a disdain towards it. So it forced me to try something else. I did have opportunities to wrestle in college, but I decided to go a different route. That led into powerlifting. I got into powerlifting and I right off the bat, you know, I was 18, 19. So I set a few teen and world records or national and world records in various federations and everything. Won a few national championships and stuff. And then I got all the way up from what would be 195 wrestling to 270 pounds. And
wow.
And like
two. You got years. All the way up there?
Yeah. Yeah. Damn. And it wasn't like a buff 270. It was like a pudgy 270. I'll have to show you the transformation picture.
I did see something like
okay,
that.
Okay. Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah. Okay. I was thick.
So he was fat at one point.
Yeah. I mean, still feel fat, but
get the fuck out of here. I don't want to hear this shit.
I've been complaining to them all week.
So check out the Instagram picture. He tried to get me. I had to out angle him.
He out-trapped me.
I did not. I was really pissed. Didn't. I really didn't. But keep going, bro.
So the powerlifting happened, but I gained all that weight for no other reason because I used powerlifting as an excuse to not do cardio, to not do anything athletic
anymore. Don't we all?
Yeah, right? And now knowing what I know, it's all just like bullshit and myth between like, oh, you can't do cardio if you mm-hmm. want to be strong, or oh, like mobility work, you shouldn't do that. And it's like all these different things. It's just kind of being brought up in a system that was just so outdated.
Yeah.
And I was too young and naive to know any better until mm-hmm. now where I'm at. I'm like, that's all the stuff I should have been doing. But I got up to 270 and then I'm like, wow, I'm fat and I really don't enjoy powerlifting anymore. It seems kind of redundant to just continue chasing numbers for just to be stronger, but with no application anywhere. The reason why I liked lifting so much in high school is because I could directly apply it into wrestling. Mm. So then I was like, all right, I gotta force myself to drop this 70 pounds. And that's when I started looking into jiu-jitsu schools. That's where I found where I'm at now, TNT MMA Training Center in Phoenix, Arizona. Nice. And it took me about, collectively, with like a couple breaks in between, a year and a half to drop 80 pounds from 270 to 190. Mm. And I've gone up and down a few times since, but now I'm at a comfortable like 200. Yeah. But that process alone was like the reason why I even got back on the mat again, because I hated doing cardio otherwise, like walking on the treadmill or anything like that. Mm. So I knew I needed to be on the mat. And that's where I stepped in the jiu-jitsu room on my first day. And I did decently well for a first timer. And I'm like, you know what? This could be like the next thing. Like this could be my next. I was very lost at the time. Mm-hmm. I knew powerlifting wasn't it. My relationship with my family and some of my friends wasn't great because I felt like I just like invested so much into powerlifting. I hit a dead end. So I just kind of felt lost. And then I found jiu-jitsu and then everything got better immediately. Yeah. It's cliche to say jiu-jitsu saved your life, and I won't necessarily say that, but I will say it made my quality of life 10 times better.
Okay.
Because now I have the aspect of jiu-jitsu and martial arts, like peace and mind, but I can still do all the powerlifting stuff that I loved before, and then and then obviously the bodybuilding, and mm-hmm. that's where I've created a niche for myself, is being able to do jiu-jitsu but also pursue powerlifting at the same time. Lift heavy, and the only thing that I've really learned from it is that like anybody can do it as long as you know how to properly apply a program, progressions, and understand what load management is. And like you can train for strength and even to be a power lifter competitively while still also training jiu-jitsu. Mm. It's very possible, and I like to think I'm one of the first to really like show that.
Gotcha.
Especially now being where I'm at as a black belt, like there's some backing to it because I've been doing it for almost 6 years now between lifting really, really heavy mm-hmm. and training jiu-jitsu really, really hard. Mm-hmm. So, and I know from your perspective with the guys that you train, it's very possible to train for strength or at least strength application on the mat or in the ring mm-hmm. and still have performance in both aspects.
I mean, you're a true hybrid athlete, right? It's what they, you know, it's cliche. A lot of people say hybrid, but you're definitely a hybrid.
Thank you.
When I look at training and I'm looking at, you know, an athlete that has a focus point, right, for competition, we're looking at focus points based on, okay, what's the most important thing at that particular time? And we turn the dial up on those, but all those dials are still turned on.
Right.
How do you, I guess, formulate your training process based upon, is it like what's coming up as far as competition? How's your training look when you are working diligently on both jujitsu and powerlifting?
Yeah, so it's a great question, because when I first started, still to this day, I have nowhere near the knowledge that you do. And definitely 6 years ago, I have nowhere near the knowledge I do now.
Nice.
But I did have intuition. And my intuition told me that if I pursue jujitsu competitions hard for, say, like 3 to 4 months at a given time out of the year, then just like I did in wrestling, I might take that remaining 8 to 10 months to dedicate to lifting, getting stronger, becoming a better athlete. And that's how I started the first few years of jiu-jitsu, where I took like 3 to 4 months to strictly focus on competition, dial back the lifting a little bit, get in really good shape. And then after those 3 or 4 months, focus on putting a little size again, focus on my numbers, focus on things like that. And now that I've been doing that for about 6 years, I've noticed that through adaptation, my body's been able to flirt closer to each line, meaning I could be preparing for jiu-jitsu competitions. But now, and this isn't something that I would recommend, nor would I say that anybody can do it, but I could be training for a jiu-jitsu competition, but also at the same time training respectively heavy and still being relatively fine on the back end. Like my most recent example was then I had a super fight. I was supposed to go against Pat Downey. That fell through because he no-called, no-showed. So then I went against one of my good friends, Austin, who took the match. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to Pat, though.
Also on the exclusive only fans page. But anyways, so my friend Austin took the match last second, and we had a great match. We went through overtime, so it ended up being like a 15-minute hard, high-level brown and black belt match. The next day, I went for a 750 deadlift, and I hitched a little bit, but I got it. And like with like no repercussions, the week before that, I hit my best pound-for-pound PR ever, which is 740 at 200 pounds. And I've just come to learn that through everything, it's doing sometimes less in the weight room is all you really need, especially when you're training very, very hard on the mat. And I remember like being in high school and like seeing all the different things that the gym has and having an OCD type feeling where I got to hit every single thing that they have.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people go through that.
Yeah.
And there's aspects where I still catch myself doing some similar stuff now. For example, it's more of a challenge for me to do 2 working sets of something than to do like 4 or 5 or 6. Mm. 4 or 5 or 6 like calms me down. Like, oh, I put in the work. Doing 2, what I've come to find, especially like at my level of lifting experience, let's call it, I can maintain what I got, but also have a much better recovery rate that I can have better application performance back on the mat. And that's come now full circle, having a better understanding that doing less is more. And when you're doing 2 things very, very hard, you have to understand that like lifting is inevitably going to be the supplement to jiu-jitsu or to MMA, whatever you're doing it for. For me, it's a supplement, but it's also potentially, depending upon where I'm at, something that's competitive. So I alter it. Like you said, like dials are switching, if not every other month, like every other 2 weeks, just depending upon where I'm at in this competition phase, let's call it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to, right? It's like finding out what are we going to actually focus in on, and then we put emphasis on that, but still maintain over here, right? When you're doing like max lifts, when you're trying to get stronger, and you're still training jiu-jitsu, do you offset your training in the jiu-jitsu gym based on the intensities of the weight room? And how are you scheduling out your days so that you can recover for all those training sessions?
So for myself personally, let's say if somebody like that's brand new asked me this question, the best way to go about it, in my opinion, as far as like safety is concerned, is to have the days separated. If you're relatively new at jiu-jitsu and you're relatively new at lifting, let's say you go to the jiu-jitsu gym 2 to 3 days a week, keep it there, and you go lift 2 to 3 days a week. Let's keep those separate.
Okay.
Soon through experience, you start to understand like, oh, Wednesday's class is a little bit more intense because it's a comp class. So like, let's not lift at all or as intensely on this day, and let's save our more intense lifting day for the technique session that's on Thursday or whatever the case may be. Then you can start mixing and mashing. And that's where it's been beneficial to me because finding a rest day or at least like a rest 12 hours to some capacity has been tough for me mm-hmm. with the different things that I do. And also having just like OCD or an addiction to training, let's call it, being able to actually take a full rest day. But if I can knock out two birds with one stone, then you can take those six training sessions that we're talking about, three lifting, three jujitsu, combine them together in some form. Now you've freed up 4 days for yourself. Now you can either add in more training sessions or find better things to do with your time. But like, that's kind of how I've learned to operate. Over time, I've become able to do harder training sessions for jujitsu, but also harder training sessions for lifting. But sometimes those are week by week, meaning I could have a perfect schedule laid out on paper between my intense lifting days and my intense jujitsu days. But on a normally less intense jujitsu day, so-and-so from Olympic Training Center number 3 comes into the room and wants to roll. And why the hell would I pass up the opportunity to train with somebody like that? And obviously we're going to go hard.
Yeah.
So then I have to be able to adjust on the fly, be like, okay, we went pretty hard today. So like my planned 90, 95% deadlift that I was going to hit is probably not going to happen. Or if it does, it's going to fuck me up more than I was anticipating. So then I have to be able to change between either going less on the deadlift or just moving this day somewhere else. That's where I also find having maybe 3 to 4 planned lifting days is beneficial, because if you're starting to plan 5 or 6, then it's hard to switch things around like that.
Sure.
Especially if you want to stay consistent with every single workout that you're doing. So, you know, for your average jiu-jitsu athlete, I think you can really get away with like 3 to 4 hard training sessions a week. And then the benefit of that is that it allows variability in how you decide to mash it up with your jiu-jitsu, especially if you're having a not so normal week or just a tough week in general.
Okay. So I'm big into, especially with my MMA guys, is that I want to make sure that every session can be auto-regulated, right? Is there anything that you're using other than intuition to understand where your fatigue is, right? Whether that be subjective indicators, objective indicators. Is there anything that you're using tech-wise, or are you just finding it out through just experience?
Yeah, no. And honestly, yesterday was probably the most technical that I've ever gotten in regards to understanding energy expenditure, like velocity, all these different things. And I've definitely seen it all before. And my excuse would be that there's no gyms in Arizona that are open to the public that would be accessible to it. And then also me just not being willing up until this point to invest into it.
Sure.
But it was very helpful.
Yeah.
But in general, if I'm going to be able to regulate something like that, it's basically just through intuition. Judging how the last week went and knowing how I need to progress. Then also obviously having a coach that oversees everything is also very helpful to keep you accountable and also keep you from being so quick to jump on the days where you're feeling good. So you want to go heavier and having the whole training cycle screwed.
Yeah, no, especially if you're somebody like yourself who's highly competitive, likes to get after it, it's pretty hard to pull yourself back.
It really is. Yeah.
I know how that goes, man. But I think for you, you know, you have the experience, you have the capabilities to understand it. And now it's just taking it to the next level. You know, starting out in your journey, what was like one of the major things that got you in peak condition for wrestling, for jiu-jitsu, for all of that?
Honestly, and it's starting to come out more, but just wrestling and jiu-jitsuing really, really hard.
Yep.
Yeah. There's definitely workouts are going to be extremely helpful when it comes to burning calories, getting better shape, and increasing your cardiovascular ability. But when it comes to jiu-jitsu and wrestling, it's the cardio, yes. But the conditioning in that, to me, is the mental conditioning, for one, that says that like you could be panting and like near heart attack, but your brain is so conditioned to the feeling of being so uncomfortable that it really like doesn't matter at all.
Sure.
You look at some of the best jiu-jitsu guys in the world, I think Nicky Rod is a great example of it, where like his motor just doesn't stop and he goes hard and he goes hard and he goes hard and he goes hard and he goes hard. He's just comfortable in that environment. And that's somebody that I like to try to model myself after too, where like I can feel my breath coming up, but like my mindset's like I need to kill, I need to finish right now. I'll catch my breath after the match.
Sure.
And with that too, through experience of wrestling really hard or rolling really hard, you gain experience, and that experience calms you down. You learn how to breathe through certain situations, and just being more calm in general disguises what would be seen as really good conditioning to the untrained eye.
Yeah.
Gordon Ryan's a great example of that, right? Mm-hmm. Extremely knowledgeable, knows the answer to every single position and question that could ever come up. Mm-hmm. So he never has to try excessively hard to make up for lack of knowledge. Therefore, his conditioning, he could go for hours and hours and hours against the best in the world because he's never really put in a spot to where he has to tense up excessively hard or has to try excessively hard to get out of something. He just always know where he needs to be, like 10 moves before the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have those two aspects. Is the mental conditioning of being able to be comfortable being exhausted, and then knowing so much about your given sport to where you're so calm that you can attack any given challenge that comes your way. Mm-hmm. My friend Austin actually like gave me a really good pointer not too long ago, and it was just the concept of like trying harder. I think you get into jiu-jitsu and like you're put under this idea that like you have to always like flow and relax and not go hard or not use your strength and all these different things. And to a certain degree, for a lot of people, especially hobbyists, I find that to have a lot of truth to it. However, as a competitor, when you have to call on all your attributes,
mm-hmm.
you have to get used to using those like all the time. Well, at least with your training partners that are highly competitive. And I found myself trying to roll with high level black belts the same way that I would roll with like your typical like hobbyist.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong to be either or, but it's a mental state. So then as soon as he told me to just try harder, I'm like, oh, try harder. I get it. So then I start trying harder, and all of a sudden it's almost like I got 10 times better overnight because I just started trying harder, like gripping harder, not being accepting to bad positions, like all these different things.
Yeah.
And that then, and result brings up your heart rate a lot, but then through rolling like that, then you get better conditioned for that type of pace. Whereas you could go with your team and you could roll with like the people that you're comfortable with or the people that you know you can beat, and you can go like an hour straight and just flow through it and come through it with a light sweat and think you have really good cardio. Well, you're lying to yourself, and I lied to myself for a long time. And then you go with a high level black belt for 3 minutes, just kicking your ass, and it's like you just ran a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you have to understand what the difference is and then train yourself, if you are somebody that takes it seriously as a competitor, to bust your ass against the people that you're allowed to, and then condition yourself differently, like specifically for that. That's a very long answer to my concept of what conditioning is for those two sports.
Absolutely. It's specific adaptations, mm-hmm. right? And you're gaining the edge based off of experience. So you know exactly where you need to be. You know how much pressure you need to put mm-hmm. on someone. You know where you need to relax, where you need to put on tension. And that allows you to keep flowing because there isn't unnecessary tension.
Right.
Right. Or mm-hmm. there isn't unnecessary strain mm-hmm. where it doesn't need to be. I get a lot of my guys that come into training, and because it's not specific to what they're actually used to, they can go and spar 12 rounds mm-hmm. right off the couch. But I throw them on a prowler
right
after, and it's like they're in the worst shape possible. Mm-hmm. But it's specific, and you want them to be conditioned for all these things, mm-hmm. right? With you, however, you've been able to pretty much master bodybuilding, right?
Thank you.
You're about to master powerlifting because you're a strong motherfucker. Let's put
Thank
it like
you.
That.
Thank you.
And you, I mean, you're up there. You're in master level as a BJJ practitioner. Where do you find the mindset to cover all these bases, and what drives you to keep pushing forward and get these attributes that you've gained?
Yeah, so I appreciate it. And this is where a lot of people ask me this question as if I'm an anomaly, and I appreciate anyone who thinks I am. But to the point of like what I was talking about earlier is that it's not like anything like that super taxing mentally to me, because each one, at least the way that I've been able to kind of have my mindset, like each one plays into the other very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you kind of make the appropriate tweaks, like powerlifting, strength for jiu-jitsu. Oh, that covers that for the most part. Jiu-jitsu, there's like a mobility aspect, and then there's a cardio aspect, and all these different things that lead into having a better physique for bodybuilding as long as your diet's on point.
Mm-hmm.
Different bodybuilding movements lead into added benefits in powerlifting, just having more muscle mass on you. Like, and then you have mobility thrown in there. So to me, being able to do all three is an accumulation of just training since I was five, and I'm almost 27. Mm-hmm. So like 22 years of experience to where like I could do these three different things, and it looks like I'm doing a lot, but in reality, like I'm just doing jiu-jitsu and lifting, but I've just had so many years to accumulate to where, yeah, I could step on a pro stage for powerlifting, which my next meet is an American Pro later this year, mm-hmm. one of the more famous meets.
Nice.
So I could do that because my body is prepped for it. You know, like my baseline of strength for a deadlift, what I've come to find without a peak, is about 700 at 200. So like that's like without even really trying, it stays at about 700. You know, and yeah. squats like right under 6, yeah. And sleeves and stuff. And my bench might be climbing up closer to 4 now, based on yesterday. So,
yeah. Yeah.
And then in bodybuilding, it's like okay, so after I've dieted down and got my body used to a 200-pound frame, like I could enter a bodybuilding prep, drop like 10 pounds, and I'd be pretty solid. Like come in a show at like 190 or so, and I'd be pretty solid to compete against most people as a natural bodybuilder. And then from a jiu-jitsu side of things, I train and teach so much to where from a mental and physical side of things, there shouldn't be too much adjustment either. But that you, I think you can only really get that through years and years and years of experience in all three to where it's not too much of a switch to do one or the other, maybe just like a month of a mindset focused, if sure. anything.
I like you, man. You're doing well. And the one thing that I do like is, man, you keep your friends around you. You keep your circle close. What does that mean to you, having your friends here and being able to be with them for such a long time?
Well, it means everything to me because literally, I would not be in this seat if it wouldn't be for my friends. Like, you see how they are with me right now, how supportive they are. That's been a thing since we were 6. Like, between all the things that I competed in when I was a kid, all the different things that I persuaded them to do. Like, it's funny because as a kid, I did baseball. We were on the same baseball team. We actually all met at the same, like, after-school basketball camp clinic yeah. thing. And that's how we got together.
He said he was a better basketball player than you.
He's not bad for being 5'2".
What's his name again? We can all troll him. Yeah. Like Instagram at, handle?
Yeah, we'll put his Instagram, right? GoFundMe too?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and the baseball led into football, and we played basketball together, and then we wrestled together. All of us wrestled on the same team in high school.
Yep.
And then all of us even did powerlifting at the same time. Even him, he deadlifted 480. He was almost at a 500-pound deadlift at like 165 yeah. for the short yeah. stint that he did it.
Yeah.
And then Irving competes in powerlifting. I obviously did powerlifting, and now we all do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things to where like they just seem to put a lot of trust in me.
Yeah.
And that's something that I very much appreciate and recognize the value of.
That's cool.
And I see it here with you at your gym, with the people that work underneath you. It's like to be where you're at, you could do it by yourself, but you could also do it way better if you had a supporting team under you.
Absolutely.
And to achieve a certain level of success, what's the fun in it if you can't share that with the people that mean most to you? And you can share that through good times and experiences, but you can also share that through giving them an opportunity to benefit from the platform that you created. And so that's exactly where I plan to go, is to take my success and be like, hey, yeah, guys, you can have careers with me and we can keep doing this shit for the rest of our lives. Like sure. having them travel with me across the United States multiple times now to mm-hmm. be my cameraman or be my cook or whatever the case may be, like that's something that I will never take for granted. And that's why I work my ass off so hard on a daily basis to create opportunities like this that are now happening for us, like literally like multiple times a month. Like my travel schedule has been so overwhelming this year. I've traveled more this year than I ever had in my life. I hadn't stepped on a plane until I was 24 years old. 24 years old. I went to Montana. I came back with COVID. But after recovering from COVID.
Perfect.
Yeah. After recovering from
COVID. Welcome to traveling.
I know.
Luckily, it was just COVID and you came back with it.
Literally, I was like, I hate this shit. I'm never getting on a plane again.
Not luckily. It's still bad.
But this year alone, like after.
But it could have been syphilis.
It could have been bad for sure.
It could have been that.
Yeah. The seat I was sitting on was sus. Absolutely.
What's the new airline? Not Spirit. Was it Spirit?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Because they don't even put you on seats. It's a bench. You got a bench. That's all. Throw peanuts at you.
Got it, yeah, right in the spirit. Got that.
This podcast is brought to you by Vivo Barefoot. Now, check out VivoBarefoot.com. That's the minimalistic shoe that I've been rocking on all my videos. If you've been watching my Instagram and YouTube, those are the shoes that I've been wearing to help my foot gain full foot functionality, strengthen up the intrinsic muscles of the feet to allow myself to perform better, and then also reduce the risk of injury. Now, I personally like the Geo Racer Knit and the Primus Light 3. Check them out. Go to VivoBarefoot.com and get the discount code DARU15 to get 15% off your final purchase. All right, now let's get on to the podcast.
But, you know, this year alone, from going to New York and New Jersey to compete in jiu-jitsu, and then that went into traveling to Mark Bell, and then traveling to LA for a Barbell Brigade collaborations, and then, you know, Vegas multiple times, and Texas, and you get to see Goldberg and train his son, CT, like all these different things have come up this year. And this travel schedule that I've created for myself has been a byproduct of my hard work, yes, but it's the hard work that's supported by the love and support of my closest friends and my parents and my girlfriend. And that's what my life is indebted to. Like my life has no purpose if they're not here. So I want this for myself. I want this for them even more, but I also want to take the platform that we're creating and impact thousands and millions of people at a certain point in time to where people can look at me and be like, yeah, like have the same impact that you have on people. Mm-hmm. For me, it's having the same impact that Goldberg had on me as a child. You know, I skipped over that part, but the only thing that I've done longer than lifting is be a fan of Bill Goldberg. And he was my superhero growing up. He was my Superman. Like, he's the reason why, like, my traps are, like, up to my ears, because yeah. I hated lifting as a kid, but the one thing I did every single day was shrug. Shrug, 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 shrug. Nice. I remember being 15.
Shrugs work, y'all. Yeah. Look at him. It's killing it.
I remember being 15 and getting my first compliment in the gym on my shrugs. And he was like, you look like that one wrestler. Like, you look like, I was like, Goldberg? He's like, yeah, Goldberg, you look like that. Like, made my day. Yeah. Made my, the rest of my life, really. And yeah. And then after CT got me connected with Goldberg and being with him on so many different occasions now and considering him a friend, I'm like, yeah, this is the person that I want to have an impact like. I want to be able to touch kids' lives. Like, I took over the kids program at TNT. My coach Scott Tannenbaum gave me that blessing. Mm-hmm. And being around those kids has changed my life in so many different ways. And now that I'm moving to Texas in a few months, I dedicated myself to that group of kids as my last duty to accomplish, per se, in my home state of Arizona, is that I have to do everything in my power possible to have as much of an impact on these kids as possible.
Yeah.
So that when I go on and do bigger and better things, they can look at me and be proud that they were once under me. And by the example that I set for myself and my friends and them, they can then pass those lessons on to their families for generations to come. And that's exactly what Goldberg did to me as a kid. From me seeing this as this epitome of what I should be like as a man, Goldberg and my dad are like very similar. They're born one day apart, and I make these draws and comparisons all the time. But that's what I want to do with my life. Mm-hmm. And having people like yourself, Goldberg, CT, all these different people around me, it's a constant sign from God and through manifestation and all these different things that, like, I am paving this journey for you, Jimmy House, and you just need to follow it and pursue that, because everything's already happened for you. You just need to keep doing what you're doing and keep speaking your goals into existence. We can even talk about my experiences with manifestation, because that's a fucking crazy one. But that is simply why I believe that, literally for myself, it's been a very slow, hard grind, but it's a matter of time before all these things come to fruition for me.
Yeah.
And this is where I have to, again, express my gratitude for you, because you found me through social media, but you never knew me per se until just recently. But the opportunity to be on this podcast, to get to know you, get to train with you, to get to be around the people and the platform that you've created for yourself is a huge honor for me and my friends. And we're just so grateful that you had us out to spend even an hour with you. We're just extremely grateful.
It's my pleasure, man. You guys are awesome, bro.
Thank you. Like
I said, I'm more than grateful for you to come out here. You guys come out here and learn and actually teach me some things, man. That's the one thing that I always like to do, is learn from everybody. So one thing I can learn from you is just how to build my traps a little bit more and fucking know how to really do a good pose. I almost cramped up and passed out the other night. No, but you guys are great, man. And so as far as last thing, I do want to go ahead. Talk about manifestation. Talk about what, you know, what your goals and how are you going to achieve them?
Manifestation. So I guess in some ways I've been practicing it my whole life. And the first real taste of it was meeting Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, I'd be 3 years old. He'd be on WCW Monday Night Nitro. Mm-hmm. And he'd come out. He'd be a superhero. He'd kick like three or four bad guys' ass at the same time.
Yep.
And he'd come out, he'd go by the ring, he'd give some kid a hug, put him on the shoulders, all these different things. I'd be a three-year-old just idolizing these kids. Like, I wish that was me. That's so cool. Like, all these different things. I had every single Goldberg book, action figure, magazine, all these different things. And sure, like, as a kid, I would dream about an opportunity of being able to meet him, but I never thought it would actually happen. And
yeah.
He stopped wrestling for such a long time, I thought he would never come on the scene again.
Mm-hmm.
I had a very bad life experience that I'll choose to not talk about. But in 2016, he came back to wrestling, and he is the reason why at that specific time I was able to stay positive and move forward, was him coming back into wrestling, like making my childhood dreams come true again, giving me something to remember my childhood about during a very hard time in my life. And I remember seeing him come back in 2016, and I remember making a comment to my friends like, dude, what if I got to meet him?
Mm.
Like, dude, that'd be so cool. Like, you can do it, man. You can do it. And at the time, we're like 20, 21. So it's like, yeah, bro, you got this. It's like, but you never really think anything of it. And I'd never really experienced any type of like manifestation type stuff before. And a couple years after that, I went to my first CT Fletcher lifting competition, and I became really good friends with CT, and I see him like another mentor, father figure.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the first time telling him, I was like, CT, like, I just want to say, like, it's so cool that you're friends with Goldberg. Like, he's been my childhood hero since I was three and all these different things. And basically, I remember tagging Goldberg in a deadlift post where I was wearing his shirt, and he commented on everything. And then he asked CT about me because he saw that CT and I were friends. He's like, tell me about this Jimmy House kid. And I could pull up the message that CT sent me. He's like, Jimmy House is, you know, just extreme athlete, super impressive, just extremely kind-hearted, all these different things. And, you know, like, he's like one of those true people. And ever since, like, CT gave him this green light, per se, for, like, me being a very true and real, not just fan, but supporter and just a diehard, like, I see. The last time I had a talk with Goldberg, I told him, I was like, you know, talking to you, like, it feels like I'm talking to my dad. Mm-hmm. And he took that as a compliment. But so CT then told him about that. And then next thing you know, I get a follow from Goldberg on Instagram. I'm shitting my pants. I'm screaming. I'm like crying. And my friends.
Were you there? Were you guys there?
Oh, yeah. They're going,
that's funny.
They're going berserk.
That's cool.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I got to meet him for the first time. He did a guest appearance at the Olympia in 2019, I believe, or 2018. And we went down. It was a whim day trip to Vegas just to meet him. I stood in line, and he saw me come in, and he gave me a big hug, and like, we, you know, he goes through the people like 30 seconds, picture, handshake, hi bye. We spent 10 minutes talking, and the girl like waiting to take the pictures like and like I'm like crying for like half of it, and she's like so confused, and he's just like telling me all these great things.
Yeah.
and my mom was there, she started crying, like,
oh,
it was such a surreal moment. It's on my YouTube too. I'll have to show it to you. But like, I have a video of me just bawling. I just could not fathom the thought that I just met my childhood hero. A few months after that, he did a SmackDown event in Tucson in Arizona. And he got me, my friend Irving, and my other friend Adam tickets front row for the first time.
I did see that.
Okay, yeah.
I did see that video. Okay.
So basically, the story behind that is, actually, it's funny. The one funny part about it is we went to roll call, and she's like, oh, what's your name? And I was like, Jimmy House. She's like, oh, no, I said Charles House, because like, that's my real name, Charles okay. James House. It's like, we don't have any tickets here. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, it's like, under Jimmy, like Goldberg got me the tickets. And then there's a Stone Cold fan next to me. He's like, Goldberg got you the tickets? Yeah, right. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And so anyway, she found the tickets.
Right. You shut up.
I know. I was like, you asshole. So then she got me the tickets. And then we looked at the tickets. They're front row. And for the first time in my life,
did you look at that guy and be like, you fucking asshole?
Well, the funny part is that, you know, he comes out and he does his thing. For the first time in my life, I'm seeing him live. I'm saying the Goldberg chant. I'm all like hyped up, Goldberg, I'm like screaming it. And he does his skit and everything. And the first cool part was like after he speared the Fiend, Bray Wyatt, he gets on the turnbuckle. He's like this. And then we're all like screaming. And then he looks at me, like points at me. We're like, oh, and like,
oh, man,
thought,
I got
like,
goosebumps, man.
That was enough cool. for me, right? That's that was like cool, enough. Man. I was like, we're like cool with that.
Yeah.
And so then he walks out. And I sit down, like, dude, that was so cool. That was crazy. And then my best friend Irvin looks up. He's like, bro, he's coming back. He's coming back. And I'm like, no fucking way. So I stand up. And then my friend Irvin's like, he's like, go. So I literally hopped over the front row. I like cleared a couple heads. And Irvin like pulled out his phone like last second, pressed it, and then like simultaneously.
Irvin's quick with that.
Yeah,
phone,
no,
bro.
Yeah, it was clutch. It's a legendary video. And again, I'm gonna keep playing that video for the rest of my life. But he got it last second. Goldberg gives me a hug, like tells me he loves me, and then like gives me like this like dad to son like grasp my face, and then like gives me a nod of approval, and then walks off. And then I turn around, I'm like, oh, and it was like I hit like a deadlift PR. I was fucking losing it.
Sure.
Then I start crying again.
Yeah.
but the whole stadium saw this because like you know in wrestling like. If the person comes back, like, oh, something else is happening. And then he came back just to give me a hug. And I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, I hope that Stone Cold fan saw that.
Oh, he definitely saw it.
Yeah, I know,
was
right?
Was it on the big screen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, fuck that guy. He knows now. He went back like, damn, he was right.
Oh, yeah, man. So.
Yeah, that's dope, man.
So that was that. So that was like, this is interesting. In a way, I kind of manifested this.
Yeah.
That bled on to certain things like, I would have very like inspirational, motivational talks with my friends, and it would go on for hours. And the next thing you know, something crazy happens within the same week. I'm like, that's interesting. Like, you notice how every single time we have like this very driven talk, like something crazy happens like within the day or within the week. Like, yeah, it's interesting. So then this year is when it's like all coming like avalanche because
it happens like that.
Yeah, because the first crazy experience was we took a trip to LA. And we're going to lift that night. And earlier that day, I was talking to my friends, Irving and Amir. And I just said that, like, yeah, man, no, this is really cool. I'm glad we're doing more of this stuff. Like, wouldn't it be so cool if, like, Mark, but like we go lift at Mark Bell's gym and like, dude, and they're like, dude, what if you're on his podcast? Like, yeah, I'd be sick, you know? And I kid you not, like, this is dead ass what happened is that we were driving to the gym that night. And I get a message request. I'm like, oh, message request. And, you know, like, you know how it goes. You get some weird message requests from time to time. But it says, Mark Smelly Bell wants to send you a message. I'm like, what the hell? I was like, no, this is a fake account. And I click, and he's like, congratulations on your black belt. I was like, oh, I'm like screaming in the back. And they're like, what? And I'm kind of like you with my friends. I'm like, if they're fucking up, I let them know hard. Yeah. So they're like, oh, what did we do wrong? And I'm like, no, dude, Mark Bell just messaged me, like, no fucking way. And then we had the podcast set up, you know, within a couple of days. And so that happened. And then, you know, Barbell Brigade, like kind of the same thing. Like, you know, I went to Barbell Brigade a few times and became friends with Nadim. And like, hey, like I think I'm going to be friends with Bart by May. Watch, I guarantee it. The next day, dead ass Bart, same thing, sends me a message about like the black belt or whatever, and then we're connected, and then I've done videos and like modeling work for some of their clothes and everything because of that. And I did the same thing with becoming friends with Flex Lewis and like and all for example. So we went to Dragon's Lair gym and we had a great time, and then we looked at some of his clothes, and I personally don't always practice wearing people's clothes if I don't personally like know them.
Yeah.
Just because I have so many friends with like different brands and stuff, I'd rather just wear their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But Flex's clothes were so nice. I was like, damn it. I'm like, now I'm gonna have to be friends with Flex Lewis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Out of the Flex, man.
Right.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing there.
Yeah, and then so then now I met Flex, and then his brother Luke is great, and so friends with those guys, and the list goes on. But the biggest thing that I've learned is that words are the most powerful thing in the world as long as they're backed up by relentless work ethic. You could say anything that you want to accomplish within reason, and if you have the work ethic behind it and the support team, you can actually do anything. But, of course, some things might happen overnight, and they might take 3-4, and in my case with Goldberg, actually 23 years, being a 23-year-old man, shitting myself in the same way that I pictured myself as a 3-year-old watching him on TV, you know.
Yeah.
But it's possible, and I've seen it, and that's why I've come so far to understand that I'm not in this alone. For one, I have a support team, but I also have somebody or something carrying me and guiding me along the way.
Man, I'm gonna tell you, the honest truth is because of what you put out is what you get back. You're a very humble individual. You're extremely nice.
Thank you.
You're fun to be around. Your energy is solid.
Thank you.
Right? So like with that, good things are gonna come to you. Keep doing what you're doing. Never let up on that. You guys are all cool as shit. And you're gonna just continue to be successful. Yes, 100%. Sir. I'm glad I get to see it before it really hits the fan and I can't even get a hold of you anymore.
No, not at all.
Let them know real quick,
yes, sir,
where they can find you if they are not following you already.
Yep. You guys can find me on Instagram at jhouse182. You guys can look up my YouTube page at Jimmy House, and you guys can find me on TikTok at Jimmy House. If you guys are interested in getting any of our merchandise, you can go to www.jimmyhouse.com. We also sell online coaching and programs. And if you want to check out, what else should you check out? Matt, you got like a girlfriend or anything you want to shout out? Okay, all right. Other than that, babe, love you. Mom, hi. Dad, hi. And we'll catch you guys next time.
Also, make sure you check out all of our YouTube videos that we're going to go
posting
up in the next couple of days with the podcast too as well. I'll see you again next time. Peace.